inner hall of life.
Moving too good, uh-huh. And my dick wishing we could. Wishing fuck, we smoking on that good shit. Give me two of everything.
Welcome to the inner home of Rising.
Yeah, that was weird.
Oh, it's gonna sound crazy.
We're recording from Skype again, guys. Shaniqua loves her family.
Yeah, yeah, I'm home for Easter.
And I'm always home.
So,
and I'll always be here.
Home for life.
90 in my father's basement.
What a fun way to get to know us. She loves her family.
I'm in my family's basement.
We are two hoes. This is the podcast True. About sex, love, and dating from the perspective of two black feminists.
Yes, yes, yes. We are also Slam Power Productions, and I'm Sam, and that's Shaniqua. Yeah.
I'm Shaniqua.
Let's just start the fucking show, I guess. Oh, no. So if you guys want to join in on the conversation, you can do so by hashtagging InnerHoe Uprising on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever social media you use. And then also, we're doing a Hoe of the Week thing now, where we shout out the fan that was, like, most interactive during the week. And this week, I think it should be at I Love My Fro.
Hey!
Did you see what she did?
She's live tweeting, right?
Yeah, she's been live tweeting. She just shouted us the fuck out. And then she also, yesterday, she said InnerHoe Uprising, and then she put, like, the greater than sign all a bunch of times, and she put Guys We Fucked Podcast.
Woo! Yes!
Yeah. Oh.
Sorry, that was
shots right. Fucking fired.
Thank you so much. I love my fro. That makes Woo. Me so happy.
Yeah. And then also, there will be triggering. There's just like triggering conversation every single week, I think, at this point. There's just so much fucked up shit in the world. So if you guys want to check out the trigger warnings, you can look in the description of this episode, wherever you're listening. And I'll put the time code so you can just like skip it or be prepared or whatever.
Yeah, this podcast is for you to enjoy, and we don't want you to listen to something that brings up any painful memories or thoughts or feelings that you haven't signed up to experience.
Yes. Wow, it's such a loud fucking lawnmower.
It is.
It's like he's right here, but he's like two houses down. Oh, God. I'm so sorry, guys. I live in the suburbs. I live in the burbs.
Yeah.
I live on a farm. All right, ready for the first segment?
Which is Fuck That!
Fuck That! Current events topics of the week.
Bionic penis dude finally gets his cherry popped.
First up, 44-year-old guy with a bionic penis finally lost his virginity.
Woo!
Yes.
Not that you ever need to lose your virginity, but he wanted to.
Yeah, he wanted to. So, Muhammad Abad, or Mo Abad, is 44. He's from England, right?
Ooh.
I didn't actually see.
I didn't see where he was from.
He just had some English-ass accents.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is England.
Let's just pretend.
Okay. So, he had his penis and one testicle ripped off in some sort of accident when he was 6 years old, which is, like, mad unfortunate or whatever.
Oof.
And the whole time, I think he had, like, regular penis, like it wasn't a bionic penis or whatever, but it was like a prosthetic penis. And then over time he was working with other surgeons and they like crafted this new cool bionic penis for him. And basically they took skin from his forearm, and underneath the skin from his forearm is like there's like this sac that's in his abdomen or whatever, and then there's two ball-like structures that are like in his scrotal sac next to his testicles, and there's the actual penis itself. So like when he wants to get hard, he presses one of the sacs and it inflates with water from the thing that's not water, like saline fluid, from the thing that's implanted in his abdomen, and it gets his bionic dick hard.
Wow.
And you know, that's how he has sex. And then when he wants it to, like, go down or whatever, he presses the deflate ball. Very cool.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah, I love it.
He can turn it on and off. He doesn't have those embarrassing moments.
Exactly. Well, he did. So he hired a sex worker. Her name was Charlotte Rose or whatever, to, like, lose his virginity to. And he was talking about the first time he did do it with her, and it was I don't want to say it was malfunctioning, but it was hard to do, I guess, because you're, like, pressing a thing through your scrotal sac or whatever. So it was, like, taking some time or whatever. But once he actually got it, it was, like, up. And it's going to stay up until he presses the deflate button.
Oh, that's...
But he has to, like, get used to pressing it because it's, like, weird.
That's fun.
It's like pressing a button in your skin.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't even imagine what that, like... When I was saying those embarrassing moments, I meant, like the moments where you get hard and, like, you don't want to be hard. But that, I guess, also not being able to get hard is also embarrassing to people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But the sex worker Charlotte... it seemed like very sex worker friendly. It's just like, yeah, I just lost to a sex worker and they were having a good time. And she was like, oh, I'm so honored and I'm excited.
Yeah, everybody was having fun. Yeah. Nobody was a judge or anything like that. So that was cool.
No one was mean to each other about it. So I guess go you guy.
One thing I found funny was that they made it an 8-inch penis. And it's just like, why the fuck does it always have to be an 8-inch penis? Like, whatever guy you talk to or person with a penis you talk to, it's like, yeah, I have an 8-inch dick. And I see these dicks and I'm like, I have a pretty good handling of what 8 inches is. Oh, there's a ruler right here. Shout out to being in a house right now. Yeah, that's not the length. Oh, well, maybe, I don't know. Nah, that's not the length of these guys' dicks.
They don't know what 8 inches.
They don't measure it. They just think they have a good handle on it, but they just want to say 8 as a number.
Why don't they?
But you know, Muhammad could have just did it. He was like, I can have whatever penis I want.
And I want eight inches. That's so funny. But isn't like the average vagina is only what, like 5 to 6 inches?
Exactly.
So what is the point of that?
And most dicks fit all the way inside, from my experience.
Yeah, I don't think.
So there's no 8-inch dicks going on. I mean, I'm sure there's people with 8-inch dicks in the world, but I have not encountered one.
You know, and maybe
all of you are lying on your dicks, literally.
Maybe there are people with deeper vaginas, you know.
Ah, you're right. Yeah, that's just the average vagina.
You know, I kind of stopped pretending that it's either 5 or 6. That's it. Across the whole entire world.
We once said in an episode that we would put rulers in our vagina. That was a long time ago.
You know what?
But
it's just that it's gonna be pointy.
I'm looking at this ruler right now and I'm like, no one's home. Feeling kind of weird. Let's just figure this out right now. Next story.
Yeah.
Africans do not want gay neighbors.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
Very unfortunate.
So, what is it? Afrobarometer, a Pan-African research group, conducted a study asking, 50,000 interviews in 30 countries, you know, what makes a good neighbor? And a lot of them, I wonder how this would fare here in the U.S., but of these 30 African countries, it was 20% of people don't mind having a gay neighbor, but everybody else is like, I don't want a gay neighbor. They were very tolerant of other ethnicities, different religions, HIV, migrants, but just not okay with having gay people as neighbors.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, when you look at the actual the little pie charts that they do, let me just open it up. It's like, astoundingly, everybody's okay with everything. I guess to the lesser extent was HIV positive people, but that's still like 70% of people are okay with that, and then just like 21% homosexuals. It's like, damn, what's going on in Africa? Well, I'll tell you what's going on.
Yeah, I love your point about this.
Thank you. Going into the most tolerant places versus like the least tolerant places or whatever, some of the least tolerant places are Senegal, Uganda, Burkina Faso, Niger, and Malawi. And then some of the most tolerant places are of like gay people and LGBT people are Cape Verde, South Africa, and Mozambique. And I can't really explain Mozambique, but if you know anything about Africa, Cape Verde and South Africa have, like, really... There's tons of white people in South Africa or whatever. And Cape Verde is, like, very racially mixed. A lot of the people are pretty much, like, 1/8 black and they're damn near white or whatever. And you would think, well, it looks like the whiter populations are so much more civil and more tolerant than these crazy-ass backwards black people or whatever. But the context that's missing in a lot of people's minds is the fact that, I guess over the past 30 years or so, there's been like an influx of evangelical groups from America, white evangelical groups from America, who are like specifically targeting underdeveloped poor nations in Africa and spreading like anti-LGBT hate speech. it's like, it's fucked up in a lot of places, and it's really weird. There's another article on, God, what is this? The Nation, that was written last year. And I guess a lot of people have heard about, did you hear about Uganda? Or did you know anything about Uganda?
Not about this minister, man. Not about this story.
But specifically about the, like, people use Uganda as an example of when they're talking about anti-LGBT attitudes. Oh, in...
no, I have not.
Oh, okay. Well, if you have heard, most people know about anti-LGBT values and stuff like that in Africa because Uganda passed this law in, like, 2009 or something like that, saying that if you're, like, found to be gay or engaging in homosexual activities, you can be sentenced to death. And then I think afterwards they revised that, and now it's like you would spend life in jail or whatever. And that's, like, the most stark example of the anti-LGBT fervor in Africa, or on the continent of Africa in general. But there's, like, other fucked up shit, like Zimbabwe, for example. I think it's also completely illegal to be homosexual. In Nigeria, you can go to jail for 14 years if you're gay or whatever. And then, obviously, this survey, only 21% of people are okay with LGBT people in general. So, yeah, I say all that to say there's just been, like, an influx over the past 30 years of evangelical white Christians going into Africa and spreading this mess. So, one example, in 2009, there was an anti-gay conference in Uganda, and it was ran by Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council and Scott Lively, who's, like, a huge pastor and is all for the anti-LGBT movement in Africa or whatever. So they held this conference in 2009, and it was just basically an anti-gay conference, and they were, like, rallying people to have gayness, I guess, just being LGBT, be illegal in the country. And they were saying things like, gay people are the reason for the rise of Nazism and the reason for the Rwandan genocide, God, which I just can't even comprehend. They cause divorce. They're the driving factor behind child abuse. And they also were saying things like, it's the reason for the spread of AIDS in the African continent and all that shit like that. so that was, like, one example. And there's this guy, Pat Robertson, who has gone into Zimbabwe and, like, fucked it up and has tried to go into Kenya and fucked it up. And he's like, well, okay, so in Zimbabwe, okay, he has his own Christian law firm, and I didn't know that was a thing until just now, but he has his own Christian law firm called the American Center for Law and Justice, and they opened a Zimbabwean counterpart called the Zimbabwean Christian Law Firm, and the point of him opening it was to promote the drafting, like, because Zimbabwe was, like, redrafting their constitution. It was to promote the drafting of the country's constitution to ensure that homosexuality remain illegal and to establish Zimbabwe as a Christian country. He also tried to do the same thing in Kenya, but he failed. Like, it wasn't put into the constitution or whatever, but it was put into Zimbabwe's constitution. And then on top of all that, he has, like, he's the co-founder of the Christian Broadcasting Network, which I've never personally watched. Have you?
No.
I didn't know it existed. But apparently it's, like, huge. It's broadcasted in 200 countries.
Whoa.
And it's huge in Africa, apparently. And one stat that article in The Nation wrote was, like, 74 million Nigerians have watched at least one show on the network, like, in 1 year's time.
That's a significant amount.
And there's 80 million Christian Nigerians in general, so it's like most Christian Nigerians are watching.
I've seen this channel.
This man. Yeah, also, have you ever heard of that show, The 700 Club?
It sounds very familiar, but I might be confusing it with Jay-Z's club.
The 40-40 Club?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, it's
not the same at all.
Same thing.
It's just but some numbers.
Basically, it's this show that I think ABC Family changed their name recently or whatever, but it used to come on ABC Family, and it would just be like after all the fun shows come on, it's like seven people at a table and they're just talking. And I was always like, what the fuck are these people talking about? They're talking about Christianity, but I never knew it. But, like, this man is a fucking bigot. And he has a show on ABC Family every single night.
That's why
we and he has an entire network.
Oh.
That people watch.
Yo, we can easily have a show and a network then. We're not bigots.
I don't know, because people love bigotry.
Could be like reverse bigots.
Yeah.
Which is what we are.
Exactly, that is. That just is good people.
It's scary. It makes me think of, I don't know why my mind always returns to this one book. It's like The Heart of Darkness. It's just the idea of Africa being this dark, brutish continent where it's with the ways are always backwards and people are always, like, any force outside of Africa, anything that comes in is always like a light force bringing more knowledge and civilization. But this is like one of the clearest examples of the complete and total opposite.
The stupid thing is that, like, so one of the things that people who are, like, actual people on the continent of Africa in these particular countries are saying to champion the anti-LGBT cause is that European contact actually caused, like, homosexuality to be introduced to Africa.
Oh, I see. It's like the Hotep.
Yeah, the Hotep exactly, response. Exactly. But it's like the people who are funding them are also of European descent. Like, the white people from America. So it's just all very strange and backwards. And then also it's not true. Like I said on the Hotep Niggas episode, which I'll just say it again because that was like 18 episodes ago. But there's this whole book. What the fuck is the book called? Why do I always forget? Boy Wives and Sister Husbands is what it's called. And it's like a collection of research done about LGBT people in Africa, pre-colonization of Africa or whatever. Unfortunately, it's a lot about the G in LGBT, just because that's, I don't know, I guess that's what people wanted to find in their research or whatever. Like, they weren't really particularly looking for transgender people and, like, women, same gender-loving women or whatever. But it's just this whole book of research about different instances of homosexuality and how it came up in, like, the culture and the stories and shit like that and the history. So it's definitely, it's not... white people didn't make homosexuality and, like, spread it through Africa. That's just a fucking myth.
Yeah, I feel like I strongly... Well, it just doesn't make sense to think that, like, you know, of all the people in the whole entire world who have ever existed, none of them were just, like, naturally gay. Or, like, a large amount of people in every single culture were gay. Like, the idea that, like, only one culture brought it and spread it around is ridiculous, or that it's not natural. Because we have so much variation. Like, we're not all going to love the opposite gender.
Yeah. There's mad people in the world. Yeah. So one might think. So this study came out in March, the beginning of March, and I found out about it because OKAfrica.com did, like, a short little article about it. This guy named Abel Schifferaw. That's an interesting name. And it's funny how he framed the... entire story or whatever, because, like, aside from crazy evangelicals or whatever and, like, extremely conservative bigots on the actual continent of Africa, I guess people who would agree with things like this are Hotep niggas, and Hotep niggas love Egypt, and this guy Abel Schifferaw basically, like, to prove one of the points that homosexuality existed in Africa pre-colonization, he, like, brings up the story of these two Egyptian, what are they, princes or some shit like that, Khum Hotep, and the fact that he has Hotep in his name is hilarious.
Oh, man.
It's actually funny because it sounds like his name is Khun Hotep.
Oh, no. It's like two insults. Exactly. It's like the Prince Khun Hotep. That's what I want to be for Halloween.
Oh, man. That's sad that, like, Hotep niggas have just...
They've ruined it all.
Disgraced this ancient fucking culture.
We need
this beautiful ancient culture.
We need to do, like, a Hotep niggas part two. And just, definitely. Like... I feel like there's still so much to dissect about them. Especially if we bring, like, Egyptian history so into much. It.
Exactly. Like this, for example. So, Khun Hotep and Nink... Oh, I'm terrible.
You're doing your best. You could just spell it, Sam. You could just spell it.
N-I-N-K-H-K-H. It's like the two K-H's. The ancient Egyptians were just fucking excessive. N-U-M.
It's excessive K's and H's.
Exactly. So in the palace of King Nusiri, during the fifth dynasty of Egyptian pharaohs, there's like, I guess they're depicted on like the ancient paintings in the wall or whatever, and basically they're two guys, and they're like kissing each other. They're actually touching noses, but apparently in ancient Egypt, touching noses was like the equivalent of kissing.
Whoa!
And there's their names, Khnumhotep number one.
Khnumhotep number two.
His name meant joined to life, and Khnumhotep number two's name meant joined to the blessed state of death. So, like, together their names mean joint in life and joint in death. So it's like this whole gay love story about Khnumhotep number one and Khnumhotep number two.
I feel like
says the bitch with Africa on her back. Some great history right here, guys. But the point is that gayness existed.
It's all right. No, you made your point. You made your point.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just think it's important to keep in mind, like, I don't know when or, like, how accepted same-gender loving people and transgender people were, because there's just not that much history about ancient Africa, because people didn't want to look into it, and mm-hmm. things were destroyed and stuff like that. So I don't want to say, like, definitively, like, everybody was always okay with LGBT people, just like the same way we were talking about China a couple of weeks ago. Like, not saying everything was always okay, but shit just fucking ignited when these white-wing conservative Christian groups came in. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, it's always good to keep that context in mind when you're like, wow, why are these other countries so bigoted?
And I feel like that's the perfect transition into
how our country is bigoted.
Our own country.
Ah, North Carolina, home of beaches, mountains, and an extremely homophobic governor. Now you can experience the beautiful outdoors, cityscapes, and incredible ignorance by hang gliding backwards in time, racing to the wrong side of history in a kayak, teaching your children to judge others while frolicking in the waves, and enjoying our waterfalls without fear of gay people falling on you.
So currently, North Carolina just passed this bill, HB 2, that basically, it's hard to explain, it's like there's no protection now for gay people or trans people, or it's just like, I'll read you what this bill is, and then I'll tell you what's left out of it. I feel like that's very telling. HB 2, which passed in a special session, would set a statewide anti-discrimination policy banning employers and businesses from discriminating against, here are like the terms, it's race, color, country of origin, religion, age, and biological sex. Nowhere on there does it say gender identity or sexual orientation. So basically, if you're gay, you're not covered in this bill. And if you are trans, you're not covered in this bill. And
deliberately.
Exactly. And this is a response to the bathroom bill, or all these bathroom bills. It's definitely just like the ones we've been talking about on the past few podcasts. Because people were concerned about like privacy and letting trans people use the bathrooms that they are gender identified with. And oh, this is kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like, how could that happen?
Yeah.
And apparently it was, like, a very rushed thing. Like, the Democrats in the North Carolina House walked out, so they didn't vote on it. Which is very strange to me. I don't know why.
Maybe. Were they just, like, in, outnumbered?
I think that's
just like,
that's,
they just don't want to stand for it.
I think that's,
it is happening.
That makes sense, because if you feel like you can vote something down, why would you walk out?
Yeah. Wow, that is fucking scary.
Yeah, and people, and apparently this bill was presented before many of the senators even had time to familiarize
like
themselves.
It.
Yeah,
wow.
Which is making me think, like, okay, it takes so long. Like, some things just will go, well, it seems like some bills pass in, like, 2 days. And, like, other things, like, you're fighting for so long to raise minimum wage, or, like, I just don't understand, like, why some things, usually, like, I don't know, it seems like their hate bills get passed so fast.
Yeah, like, how did that happen? I just don't know how the government works.
Yeah,
but how did exactly. How did it happen so fast? Like, I just don't know.
Yeah,
if like, you know, write in.
Like, why?
Get our own president.
Exactly. Like, why couldn't we just, like, you could have just, the original bill could have been passed, I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's just very scary, because I don't know exactly what the implications of this are, because this is also, this doesn't just apply to bathrooms, you know? This applies, this is like employers.
Employment, yeah.
So
that is very, that's incredibly disturbing.
So can you now legally fire someone in North Carolina because they're gay? or because they're trans? Like, that's what I want to know about. Like this.
Yeah, I think that's the implication. I mean, you can, and there's no law saying you can't.
Yeah. So, I don't know how. I don't know. I guess I don't really know how that happened. And many people are like, wait.
What the fuck?
So, I think it's going to be challenged. So, I came across Bustle.com. Seems to be posting, like, up on everything and posting some really useful things.
Yeah, they're good.
They have a few ways on their website that you can try and change this, but I don't know how useful it is, you know. There's, like, mm-hmm. a change.org petition. Mm-hmm. Although, it's also very, like, not shallow, but it doesn't go deep enough because it's just, like, allow the transgender community to utilize restrooms that align with their gender identity. But, like, that has...
Not even talking about the employment thing.
Exactly. Like, the scarier and, like, forcing kids to use certain bathrooms and people. There's also Vote Democrat, which is always, you know, register to vote and vote for the right party. But, you know, voter rights are currently under attack in this country, and I guess have been for a while. So, like,
and then also, if the majority of the population in the state doesn't think that people deserve these basic rights,
then it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, like, if all the country want, if 60% of this country wants Donald Trump to be president, me registering to vote was never going to change.
No.
That.
And then there's some rallies in the streets that are going on. So if you're in North Carolina and you're upset about this, you can check out some rallies. And then there's like the hashtivism.
Hashtag activism.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Let me not make it like a cute phrase because that was too difficult to say.
You really tried.
Yeah, I did. I remember. I don't know if anybody remembers seeing the "No Hate in My State" that the Human Rights Campaign put on, and then there was also. There's also this hashtag selfie, which I think, you know what, I think this one thing in terms of visibility of trans people is useful. People are hashtagging, I think the governor's name or whatever, and it's just like pictures of trans people. It's like a trans man who looks, you know, extra masculine looking man. Like I would not think that he had transitioned, you know, like he's like a very passing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like
cis passing.
Yes, yeah, cis passing. There we go. And it's just like I don't belong in a woman's bathroom. And you look at this guy, and it's like it's like
you don't.
Yeah, like no, it doesn't make sense to have him be in a lady's bathroom.
Yeah, I get those, and I guess I'm like for it because I get what they're trying to do and say, but I feel like that's kind of fucked up to, like, non-cis-passing trans people.
Oh, no, no,
like, there's
it
some
is.
Trans women who just, like, I don't want to shave my fucking beard, but I still identify as a woman. Uh-huh. I don't know, I'm just, like, being extra, what's the word, idealist about it, but in theory, I'd love for bathrooms to be, like, this is a mad New York local reference, but you know how the bathrooms are at the DL?
The DL.
Delancey and Ludlow, where it's, like, it's just a bathroom, and then there's, like, several stalls with full doors.
Oh.
And you can just go into whichever one you want.
I've only seen that once. But that's also, like, that's the ideal, is, like, anybody can use any
bathroom. Exactly. That's what I would really like for it to be.
But...
Because there's some people who don't even fit into the box of man or woman.
Yeah. But I do appreciate the idea of saying, like, here's what you're also potentially, No, I totally get what you're saying, because that's the ideal, is that you can just use whatever bathroom and it's fine. But it's, like, in a world where, like...
In a world where...
When people's point, or, like, the guys who... People who are opposing it are like, you know, we shouldn't have a man in our bathroom. It's like, well, you're... Like,
Yeah, you're literally...
Passing this bill isn't addressing that problem or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like...
You're totally right about that.
But no, but good, excellent point, because not everybody wants to be cis passing, and you know, your selfie matters too.
The great thing about that is that I lost my point.
Oh, no.
It just highlights the stupidness in the conservative argument.
Yeah, it's just like it doesn't. Your actual issue isn't safety or privacy. I feel like it's just you don't want to acknowledge that trans people exist.
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't want them to have the same rights, because it's like the argument, like, I guess we've said this many times before, is that people are like, oh, well, you know, that means that a man can walk into a little girl's bathroom and, like, assault a little girl. And it's just like, I mean, he could have done that before.
Yeah, you know? And then also when he does do that, you
it's
don't
still
fucking
illegal.
Put him in jail for very long anyway.
Yeah. Oh, man. Good point.
Yeah.
Very
a lot of
point.
People have been tweeting stuff like that. like, you're trying to stop all this fucking sexual assault from happening, but you really are not tough on sexual assault ever.
Exactly, yeah, because when women are actually assaulted, they're victimized, not believed.
Exactly. You mean a man was wearing a wig and raped you in the bathroom? Like, that's what would actually happen if that happened.
Yeah, it's like, so, no, you were never raped. It never happened. Yeah. So, totally, yeah. That's another great point. Yeah, it's just,
it's all shitty, fucked, yeah. Basically.
it's and then not there's just,
like,
argument.
Other things. I kind of, when I first saw this story, I was like, oh, I don't feel like putting this in the document. We talk about this every week. But, like, we talk about this every week because the whole country is going goddamn crazy. Like, they're just, like, the anti-LGBT backlash ever since, I guess, gay marriage was legalized last June is, like, the pushback is real.
Yeah.
Kansas... Here's a story. I didn't really read into it. I just honestly saw the headline. Kansas schools are offering $2,500 for students who rat out trans classmates who use the quote-unquote wrong bathroom. Like, what the fuck?
Why would you do that?
Like, why would you pit kids against each other like that?
And if
over something
school,
so sensitive.
If your school
like,
had
disgusting.
That much money. Like,
First of all.
How are you handing out that much money?
That's pretty
you know what I mean? Just make a whole trip, build a new bathroom just for transgender, like a non-gender bathroom or whatever with all that money you're going to be handing out to people, and you won't have a problem.
You're so right about that.
Where is $2,500 coming from?
I don't
from?
Know. Man, if I was a kid, I would probably just like get a couple of friends together and game them and like,
me too.
This is stupid and bad. I'd be like, you pretend that you're trans. So I'll rat you out and we'll split the money three ways.
And then you'll be suspended, but at least we'll have this money.
And we gotta invest. Yeah. Use the time off. Fucking build a business.
Exactly. That was my first thought too. I was like, how would I have used this to my advantage? But that's like a horrible.
Yeah, it is pretty terrible.
Terrible thought. But it's also yeah. We're laughing at it's so shitty. It's like, you know, we can be enraged
Mad
by
ridiculous.
It or we can laugh at it and then face it in some sort
exactly.
of way.
Exactly.
No means no! No means no! No means no! No.
Protests sparked on the campus of Howard University March 22nd after a student took to Twitter and basically, so the student was raped by an RA on campus or whatever, and she had reported that rape happening. It happened in February, and she reported it when it happened or whatever, and she felt like the administration at Howard University probably like... the people call it the Harvard of HBCUs or whatever, like notable historically black college or university rather. She went to the administration. They didn't move fast enough or at all. Not sure. And her fellow students saw it on Twitter and they decided to start protesting or whatever. One, because they feel like the administration at Howard doesn't take action against sexual assaults. And two, they don't like the way that the university and universities in general treat victims of sexual assault. So this guy is still enrolled. The RA who allegedly raped this girl. And then after those protests started, another student took to Twitter and said that she too was raped by him on campus last May, and there was like a police report to corroborate both stories or whatever.
Wow.
So we're not making it up out of nowhere. And yeah, he wasn't removed then, and he was still an RA up until just now, until they started protesting or whatever. And then also, the same guy was apparently at UCLA, and he was banned from the campus after a student wrote into UCLA about the fact that he had been distributing revenge porn on campus of her.
Oh my
god. So he's
god.
A terrible person.
Yeah, it makes me think of
he's
like
he's a repeat offender.
It makes me think of like
when a sexual abuser.
Like a police officer like shoots somebody and then they get fired and they get hired somewhere else. Like,
yeah.
The fact that this person, like, why wouldn't you believe that they would commit the crime, especially if they were banned from a previous place because of something similar?
Exactly. And then also, why was he hired as an RA?
If he had this whole revenge porn thing.
Revenge porn?
You don't
and
want
then,
that
on top of the fact that he raped a girl last May, why was he still an RA?
He still
and then he raped a girl in February, and he was still an RA.
Yeah.
It's like, people really don't get shit until they make noise about it.
Or maybe no one is taking the RA position seriously, because sometimes RAs don't do anything. The standards are really low for RAs.
Other than assaulting people.
That's the real problem here, is that we need to hold our RAs to higher standards.
Yeah.
I think, so one thing, so what I find interesting, not interesting, but like, it's the whole, like, when all schools will say is that we're looking into the issue.
Yeah.
And it's just, there seems to be, because it seems really difficult, you know, you want to know what's happening and to keep up with things, but these schools or institutions aren't making any of their investigations transparent. So it's like, we're investigating, we've been investigating, we're still investigating, but like, what are you doing? What steps are you taking? And how can I follow along with your investigation so I can be informed of the process? Because, you know, if you really are investigating, like, let me know what's happening. And then, you know, you don't have to go out and protest because you know what's going on. But like, so I feel like in like rape cases, you should know exactly how things are progressing. That way, one, you can. That way, you hold the institution accountable, and they can't hide behind vague promises of action. And then, two, I feel like it gives people like a greater, like, peace of mind, because they know that, okay, I'm heard, and I can see how swiftly my issue is being taken care of, or the issues of like the student body are actually being taken care of. Otherwise, these little pacifying like Twitter updates and emails are just meaningless and stupid. I don't get why anyone thinks that's enough, and or then, anyone in an administration would think that was enough.
And then also, in the end, they are meaningless and stupid, because oftentimes on campus rape, nothing happens anyway.
Yeah, no one's ever actually
expelled or anything like that. So it's like, maybe if they were like unclear about the process, and in the end of the process, the situation was actually dealt with, people would be okay. But people are extra mad because the situation is never dealt with in the first place. And that's why all of these campus rape stories are like coming to a head, because people are sick of it.
Yeah, it's like we're investigating, and by that it means like
we're not doing anything. We just said that so you can shut the fuck up.
Or it simply means I asked the administrator. It's like I asked myself if it was worth investigating, and I said no. That was the investigation. I sign off on it.
In the process. I'm stroking my beard. This is the process. So the students on Howard University, I'll just read their demands or whatever. They posted this on Twitter under the hashtag take back the night HU. So it says, purpose to bring attention to the rape culture at Howard and hold the administration accountable for how they treat survivors. And the demands are, there will be a thorough investigation conducted of all reported assaults on Howard University's campus. The aggressor will be removed from Howard University's campus, including all classes, organizations, and other Howard University-affiliated groups/events until the conclusion of a thorough investigation. Victims of assault will not be removed from Howard University's campus as a result of their accusations. If any Residence Life employee is notified of sexual allegations, they must report it to Howard University Campus Police and DC Metropolitan Police immediately. If requested by a victim, a police report must be filed. All victims of sexual assault must be directed to the Howard University Counseling Center in order to receive effective counseling on how to handle the assaults. An official background check of all Howard University Residence Life employees must be conducted before being hired, and a representative of the survivor must be present at all conversations or hearings held in relation to the assault with Howard University's affiliates.
I think those are all pretty like common sense and practical demands.
I agree.
You know, like, how can, it's the fact that none of this is happening currently.
Yeah, very disturbing. It's almost as if the administration did not care.
Almost like they don't give a fuck. I wonder if that's actually the root cause of
right, exactly,
of these problems.
Yeah, and then also like not wanting to look like a rape school or whatever. But come on, guys, every school is a fucking rape school at this point.
This is a rape world.
Tonight, an enraged Ted Cruz looking right into our camera to deliver this message to Donald Trump.
Donald, you're a sniveling coward, and leave Heidi the hell alone.
Donald Trump and Ted Cruz have been having a wife spat,
yeah,
as it's been described, but it's really Donald Trump continuing to be
a disgusting
piece of human body. I don't know, just being really rude. So Donald Trump tweeted out this split-screen meme of the two wives, and it's like Heidi looking, she's looking rough, you know, we don't always have nice pictures with Trump's wife Melania. She looks great, you know, clearly like full
she's
makeup
a supermodel
done. Yeah, right? She's a supermodel.
She often looks great.
She has a supermodel look to her. So it says, no need to, quote, spill the beans, unquote. The images are worth 1,000 words. So basically implying that, one, his wife is prettier. And because his wife is prettier, like,
he's therefore the better candidate.
Yeah.
Makes no fucking sense. Just it, makes it very little sense.
And I love that, Megyn Kelly's tweet in response, because Trump has been shitting on Megyn Kelly a lot, was just like, really? Like, I'm glad that she weighed in particular.
Yeah.
Because I think Fox actually recently just launched, like, a In Defense of Megyn Kelly.
Yeah,
like,
they did.
Some sort of post. Because he kept, like, I'm glad that they finally defended their anchor in a substantial
and
way.
And that's how you know he's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, Fox absolutely terrible, because like, they don't like women.
Yeah. Leave our women
even
alone.
Megyn Kelly probably doesn't even like women. Like, everyone is terrible on that network.
Yeah. But so I guess as we, so obviously Trump sucks. That's sexist. Like, saying it's and oh, there's also the whole like misogyny is a very hip hop culture thing. Like, this is just another example of like it, hip hop and like black culture isn't like a huge manifestation of misogyny. It's everywhere in America.
Yeah.
So there's just this rumor that popped up in the National Enquirer.
Yes.
The day after that tweet saying that Ted Cruz has had 5 extramarital affairs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and Ted Cruz is like, Trump is spreading these lies. But just in general, I don't think having an affair has anything to do with your leadership skills. Like, if it's, I think Ted Cruz, be disagreeing with a lot of Ted Cruz's policies, would make me not want to, makes me not want to vote for him. Even if he did have 5 affairs, I wouldn't be like, well, he's probably not fit to be president, because like, I don't think your love life or sex life,
it has nothing to do with it.
Unless you're a rapist.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Unless you're a rapist.
The one, like the 2 exclusions, cause I never care whenever somebody has a sex scandal other than like the tea and the drama and just like being entertained by it. Like, wow, 5 yeah. people had sex with Ted Cruz, even though he looks like a foot. That's hilarious to me. But if he was a great guy, I would still vote for him. But
he looks like a foot.
He totally looks like a foot.
Let me revisit that image later.
But something that disturbed me, like, when Anthony Weiner was, like, popping up in that girl's tweets or whatever, like, he was, like, sending unsolicited dick pics. That was, like, that's a very local politician from Queens mm-hmm. or whatever. But the fact that he was, like, unsolicitedly popping up with dick pics in her DMs, that was, like, eh. That's kind of sexual assaulty, you know? Or yeah. When Elliot Spitzer, who was the former governor of New York, God, what the fuck happened? He was found using prostitutes, like an escort service or whatever. And I think that's totally yeah. fine, because I have no issue with escorts in general. But it was weird because he was actively trying to push legislation to, like, criminalize prostitution even further. So it's like, you're...
Even though he himself
yeah,
was using
you're just a shitty guy.
Yeah.
If he wasn't doing that, I'd be like, why the fuck are we, like, outing this man or whatever? But, yeah, in general, sex scandals don't really bother me. Kind of like them. Yeah,
they're kind of fun.
Yeah.
Like scandal. But, yeah, so, like, you can cheat on your spouse, and I will still vote for you so long as...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in line with your politics. So I think if you let, like, one... It's, what is it, like, character politics, I think is the term, where it's, like, the person's, like, oh, you know, seems like a hardworking guy. They're all very, I guess, seems like shallow reasons, or not, like, really well-informed reasons to...
Yeah, I'm not voting for this guy, because I want him to be my husband, or my friend, or whatever.
Exactly.
I'm trying to see yeah, what his like, policies are, and how he's going to carry them yeah. out.
Yeah, your vote is way too powerful to be wasted on, like a little decision like that shouldn't affect, like, you giving up your power like that, or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, Ted Cruz.
God bless the people who had sex with him. And there's one of them was black, which I was like, wow.
Whoa.
That's interesting. I forgot what her name was, but she she apparently, well,
allegedly.
If they did have sex, but she now works for Donald Trump's campaign or whatever as like a staffer, so it's like, ooh, that's interesting. Did she just fuck him for that? If she even did in the first place? And people are also saying that Marco Rubio leaked this information, which is like, damn, can he ever do anything right? He's not even he's not even in the race anymore.
he just predicted he would
dollar short.
Right? Oh, Marco. Step it up, man.
Yeah. That's fuck that. Ooh, I said it right. Look at me.
Next up,
fuck it. Ooh, our topic
yelling
of the day
in the house. Sorry.
Ooh boy. Wow. Even I didn't yell. No one's even here except for the lawnmower. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. And our topic of the day is public sex.
Public sex.
Sex in public. We gotta talk about this fast before everybody gets home. And they're just like, Sam did what? Where?
Your list of stuff is long.
It is long. I was like, I haven't had that much public sex. And I was just writing. And I was like, oh, wait.
I have like 16 things to my 4.
Should we start there?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's give us your dirty details. Go ahead.
Okay, so I guess my public, I'll just say, like, name the places and the funniest times. So there's definitely, I think, it must have been, like, super after, maybe not super after, but recently. So stairwell story, was at a party, and then John and I were, wanted to sex it up. So we went out, went out and got condoms, and then we tried to have sex, like, on the sidewalk.
Wait, like, bending on the sidewalk?
No, like, I was, like, bent over.
Oh, okay.
But it was just, like, hard. It was, like, a difficult position, and people were walking around, wow, kind of.
What neighborhood and was this?
It was near the street. It was somewhere in Brooklyn, I think. I don't know.
Could have been anywhere.
And then we went back inside, and then it became stairwell sex. But then there was, I also, like, I put my glasses. So there was, like, this like, ledge. Like, you know, you, like, you go down the stairwells, and there's, like, a flat area that turns around and then it turns into like another staircase. So you're like there, and I guess like, and like my elbow was like near the wall. I'm trying to like visualize how this was working out, and my glasses were off, and it was like, so there was like the wall, and then there was like a little gap, and then there was like that platform between this that connects the staircases, and I like smacked my glasses into this little like pit. So like to this very day, this scratch I have on my glasses.
Where they're from.
That's what the scratch is from. And it was like 2 days after I'd gotten this new pair of glasses that were I loved.
Yeah.
So there was that. And there's been like bathroom blowjob and then taxi cab blowjob. So sidewalk, taxi, bathroom, stairwell.
All good like, things.
And I think that's my brief history of the brief life.
A short story, Powell. A novella.
Now please tell me about all of these.
Yeah, I just wrote them out. All right, so I guess, I don't know, the first time? I don't know what the first time was, to be honest. Oh, the first time ever was... See, this is like sex and sex play and stuff like that. It's not always penetration. Like, I think the first instance of public sex play was when I was in a park by my house. And I was just like, I couldn't let Akeem in my house or whatever. And I don't know why the fuck he wasn't letting me in his house now that I think about it.
He just didn't want you in the house.
I was in there before. I don't know.
Well, he was ashamed.
He used to be in his living room, remember? Like, in his basement, so it was a lot of people there or whatever. But I don't know. We were just, like, outside in the park getting freaky or whatever. And we were making out, and he just, like... He was just like, can I? Like, while looking at my titties. And I was like, yeah, you can. I didn't know what he meant, though. He just whipped out my titties and he was like sucking my titties, like, in public, in the middle of the day, in like a children's park. Like,
oh my gosh.
Why did we do that? There was no kids there, though.
It's just a children's park.
There were no kids there.
I love that.
It was either like summer or spring break or something like that. And then I'll just read these in order. It's been in Akeem's car. It was actually his mom's car. I hope no one ever listens to this. This is before that he had his own car. That was
blow up.
Huh?
We're about to blow up next week.
That was a van, so I feel like that was easy. Then there was this other kid's car, but that was like a Jeep. He parked by my house. There's a cemetery by my house. Everybody's gonna know where I live at the end of this. And he parked by the cemetery. And it was just like mad dark or whatever. Nobody would expect people to have sex by a cemetery, so it was perfect. And I was like so scared because it's on like a major street, and I was like, man, the cops are gonna fucking come and kill us, but they didn't. And he just didn't care. He was just like so okay with it. But then also, like, the entire back of his Jeep. Like, there was, like, he could put the seats down or whatever, so it became a bed. But not only could it become a bed, this nigga had sheets and pillows. And
he was ready.
I was like, wow, so you just have sex with everybody in the back of this Jeep, don't you? And he was like, no, after work sometimes, you know, I'm tired, and I do a double shift, so in the middle, I just sleep in the back of here. And I was like, nigga, you're a fucking liar.
I believed him.
Oh, really? I don't. I just don't believe him.
I would do that if I was him.
So that happened once.
But also, he could be lying.
I just feel like he is. I just feel like he is. It's been 2 or 3 times in 23's car. And that is, it's like the best, but it's the fucking worst. It's the best because it's like great sex. But he's so tall. And the car is so small. It's not so small, but it's just like, for a 6'3" nigga, the fuck is going on? It's just very, it's very hard.
I don't even know how that works.
It's very hard. I'll put the emphasis on it's very hard. And it's also like, it always has to be me riding because there's just nothing else that can happen or whatever. I remember one time we were doing it. And I was also scared of the cops or whatever, because, you know, we're black and the cops hate us. And all of a sudden, like, I heard an engine revving up. Like, it must have been, like, something really cliche. It's like somebody was coming or, like, right after we were done or something like that. It was all of a sudden, like, vroom! I was like, oh, my God, what was that or whatever? And I was like, was that you? And it was him, because his feet slipped because there's no space in the fucking car.
Oh, God.
Your phone's ringing.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's your house phone.
It's my house phone.
Yeah. Oh, I understand. I was like, you don't have a phone. How is your phone ringing?
the phone in my mind.
There was another time where we had car sex by the same park that I got my titties sucked on.
Years prior.
and we were just like cuddling up afterwards or something like that. Or he was like about to eat my pussy or something. And I saw a light go on for a car that we thought was parked. And I was like, did you see that? He's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, that light in that car just went on. He was like, no, it didn't. You're just seeing like the flash of something or whatever. And I was like, no, I swear to God, it went on. And then he like goes to eat me out again. I'm just like, ooh, the eating out is great. And then we turned around and the car was gone. So it's like, were they having sex there too?
That's so scary.
It was scary. Yeah, I don't know. They might have footage of us. I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Wait, this gave me a fun idea. Uh-huh. We should have, like, a public sex map for our fans.
I was, like, oh my God, I was saying a similar thing on Periscope the other day. Well, you said a map. I was saying an actual, like, tour. Like, tour? The tour buses in the city.
Oh, my God. Wait, that would either be so way, fun. It's like, here are all the places that you can have sex in New York City.
Exactly. Wait. Okay, then, back in the younger Akeem and Sam days, we were at South Street Seaport. I think we had Uno's or something like that. And then afterwards, it was just, like, festival. You know how South Street Seaport is just fun, and there's always outdoor things going on or whatever? There was this song that came on. It was, like, a techno song or something like that. And they kept saying this phrase over and over again. And to us, it sounded like they were saying aqua sus, like aquatic suspect, aqua sus. It was just like aqua sus, aqua sus, aqua sus. So that didn't turn us on or anything like that. But it just so happened that we fucked by the pier that day. So we literally were sus by the water. And now it's just like the aqua sus story or whatever.
I love it.
Yeah, so we fucked by that pier. We also fucked at some random pier up in Harlem. I don't know why we were there, but there were, like, teenagers skating around. And
oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, great. So it actually exists, and it is in Harlem. Yeah. Cool. So they would, like, go and skate in another place, and I would just, like, pull up my skirt, and you would fuck me, and I was, like, looking in the water. It was great.
Wow. Oh, I like that. My, Sorry, that just sounds like a nice time.
It was nice. I think I was drunk, so I can't quite remember all of it,
but people, you said people were around?
It was dark, it was nighttime, and there were kids, and they were like skaters, and they were in the vicinity, but they weren't always like where we were.
Oh, they were doing it too then.
Probably so. What else? Oh, my friend used to bar back or manage a bar. He's not my friend anymore. In Queens, and my friends, we were just all at his bar, whatever, getting mad drunk, and me and Akeem just left the bar. Did we go leave to fuck? Did we leave to get something from the car? I don't know, but we did fuck. And it was the first time where I was just, like, fucking outside on the sidewalk, like, pressed up against the building or whatever. That was crazy. And then I think I tripped on something and, like, scratched my face, and I came back with a face scratch. And I was like, what the fuck, Sam? I was like, oh, I tripped. And then they were like, did Akeem hit you? But really, we were just having sex.
Yeah, it's the quite the opposite.
Oh, he hit it all right. this one time at a staircase in Akeem's old school, in his old college. One time I gave him head at Jamaica Van Wyck, the train station. Why did I do that? Man, I'm really finding myself in this list.
Oh my God. No, I love it. I love it.
Before Akeem drove, we would take the bus because that's how people get home or whatever. Got fingered on a bus. That was interesting. Okay. It was in like the two-seaters. I don't know if anyone realized it, but definitely wasn't nighttime.
Why did we do that? Why would you be paying that much attention, you know?
I probably would be paying that much attention, though. I'm a very observant person.
I was like, looks like she's coming now. Good job, good job.
Good job, sir. Once in Jamaica, like the country, I was in, what is it? It's like a party weekend or whatever, and they have like these shuttles going back and forth to the parties. And man, one day I'll tell the story of this vacation, but not now. But there was this guy, and God, the situation was just so weird. I was trying to have sex with him so that his brother would have sex with my friend. And that is the most detail I'll go into. Honestly, sure. I didn't want to have sex with him, but I wanted him to think I wanted to have sex with him just so his brother could have sex with my friend.
Wow. And then, good friend.
Okay, so she originally wanted to have sex with that man, and then all of a sudden his eyes were on me like the entire trip. And I just, you know, I was like, I'm taking one for the team. I'm willing to take one for the team. So we were like leaving these parties or whatever, and he was like in the same van that we were in, and he was just touching my leg and stuff like that. And I was like, right, going with the slow, roll with the punches. And he just started fingering me. And I was like, I don't really want to have sex with you, but I'll let you finger me right now. And then my friend, the one who wanted to have sex with him, was like peering over like, I wonder what's going on over there.
Oh,
it was that man finger.
Wait, did she figure it out as it was happening?
I don't remember. I was very drunk that trip. I gotta ask her. But she knows now.
Okay.
I don't know if she realized then exactly. She knew that something was going on, but I think I told her after, like, yeah, man, he was getting those guts. Oh. That same trip.
Good question.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about, like, dirty hands? Like, people's hands being dirty and then in your vagina?
I do worry, but in the moment, you know.
You don't care. I feel like my thing is, like, find a water fountain real quick. Like, if there's nothing around, just, like, wash your hands.
There's no grime on his hands. It's not like he had particles.
He didn't have raw dirt. Visible dirt on his hands.
E. coli just on his hands.
Oh. Just the bacteria, nothing to attach itself to, just raw E. coli.
That same trip, I really just don't remember the story at all, but apparently I whipped a man's dick out at a pool party.
Yes.
And I was just like, fuck me, please. And he was like, okay, I have to put the I don't remember. This is all hearsay. I was really drunk that day.
Who heard this, though?
His brother is dating one of my friends. Ah. So it was that guy or whatever. And also, it was just, like, everybody... It was... Okay, so it's, like, a huge party weekend in Jamaica. And, like, they have these... Like, they rent out an entire water park and everybody parties at that water park. So God knows how many people were probably having sex in that water, you know? I'm sure, like, and then there's also, like, unlimited liquor. So everyone was probably having sex at those, but I didn't have sex. God. But I did whip that man's dick out. And apparently I was like, oh, but you need a condom. Good thinking, Sam, even in your off times. And he was, like, trying to put the condom on, apparently, but couldn't figure it out, probably because it was underwater. But, yeah, that happened.
Is it safe? I wonder if it's safe to put a condom on while you're under
water. I don't know. I don't know,
I feel like
man.
It probably isn't.
I just don't know. Gotta tell all the stories from that trip one day, though. Do you think house parties count?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
I was gonna say, yeah, even though you're in, like, a separate room, it's not your,
it's not
someone
your
can
house.
Walk in. It's not your room.
Yeah. Fucked in one friend's bathroom at a house party. It's good. It wasn't a dirty bathroom. Then there was that one time with the guy from episode 2 that I was about to fuck him in that bathroom, but I just had his dick in my hand.
Vic Mensa.
Yes, Vic Mensa. Hashtag never forget. most recently, I think this is the last one, movie theater head with 23, while we were watching The Revenant.
Oh, yeah.
That was great because it was like at this theater in Long Island or whatever, and it was like on a Tuesday or something like that, so nobody was there except for this couple, and they were way down, and we were all the way in the back. And it wasn't even our intention. We were just like feeling real hot and heavy, and we were just like loving on each other real hard. And then all of a sudden, he just got out of his seat, and like it was not like I was wearing a skirt or anything like that. He like literally pulled my pants down, like my bare ass was on a movie theater seat.
Oof. Okay.
Okay. But it was some of the best head I've ever gotten in my entire life, I'll tell you that. And then afterwards, we just went back to watch the movie. That was a long-ass movie.
It was very long. Wait, where were you sitting, like, sitting in the theater?
We were sitting up top. Like, in the back. Oh,
it has, like, tiers?
Well, you know how movie theaters, like, it's, like, at a slant?
Oh, you were at the very, like, back of the theater.
Yeah, exactly, the back.
No one was in your row at all.
No. There were only four people in the theater. Me and him and these other two people. I don't know if they were brother and sister or a couple or whatever. So yeah, it was perfect.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's my anthology.
People were like getting shot and dying graphically.
There was a lot of stuff going on in The Revenant, and they kept saying that term tree nigger over and over again, which I personally found hilarious.
There's a lot of,
it's
like,
very sensual.
There's a lot of like N-word modifications out there that are very funny. Wow. Wait, but do you remember at any point? Okay, so there was tree nigger, but do you remember like at any point like witnessing someone die on screen while you were receiving head? If so, did you have any thoughts about it?
No, I think I was closing my eyes or just like looking at his head.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then I went to sleep after for a little bit, because after I come, I'm very tired. And
during
I woke
the
up,
movie?
Yeah, it was such a long movie. And then I woke up, and I think that was when Leo DiCaprio was in that carcass. That horse carcass.
Oh, no. Oh, wow.
That was a long-ass movie. I gave 23, like, a little bit of a massage. It was, like, a really... It was an experience.
It's like, why did you go?
It looked like a good movie. I mean...
Well, you did see, like, do you think that, like, the people who are making these movies, they have to acknowledge that, like, people are just going to be having sex to your movies?
Like, I would be so pleased if people are fucking right now to this moment in the podcast. Like, that's all I've ever wanted.
Right? It's like, please jerk off to this.
Exactly.
That's what our slogan should be.
You must.
Okay. Oh, here we go. So another question I have is like, so it's like dirty hands and this like aftercare, like peeing after and like showering and rinsing. But if you're in public and possibly not being near like running water for a little while,
yeah,
like how does that make you feel? Makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, me too. But I just kind of forget about it. That's so like the only thing you can do. And I'm really big on aftercare or whatever. Like immediately after, I'm usually just like, I need a rag and a bathroom.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever happened in any of these places, you know?
Yeah, because I just don't want to walk around. Because I guess, like,
it's a very weird, wet vagina.
Exactly.
That's what I've done in all of these situations.
Yeah. Like, just gotta... It's damp. That's how it's gonna be.
Yeah. I mean, maybe start carrying some wipes. Like, non-scented wipes.
I mean, I think those are good to have in general.
Yeah.
You've never been caught in any way whatsoever, right?
I've never been caught. Have you?
Oh, man. Well, it was just the taxi cab story.
Okay.
So the cab driver was there.
He was there. And it was very clear what you were
there.
Doing.
Yeah. It's like, oh, God. But I also didn't care because I was drunk.
He's probably used to that.
Yeah, he was like, oh. And I was like,
what the fuck? Why was that his only reaction? What do you mean by that, actually?
Right.
Oh. Wow.
Oh. But it was not that kind of
jerking off.
Everybody's having a good time. That would be a really funny sketch.
You don't
as well.
Have to tip me. You don't have to tip me.
You don't even gotta pay. Oh, it's all good.
That's funny. Do you ever want to be caught?
No.
Some people are turned on by that.
No, I'm not. Because then it ends, you know?
If somebody,
if that small child is like, Mom!
So someone on Periscope yesterday was like, she was fucking in the park, like in Central Park or whatever. I don't know if it was night or day, but she was fucking in Central Park, like in the shrubbery or whatever. And oh, they were doing Sex 69, and she looked up. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, apparently, she said Central Park is like a fuck zone. It was crazy on Periscope yesterday, or 2 days ago. They were 69ing in the park, butt ass naked, like actually naked. And a dog, she looks up and she sees a dog nose, and she's like, what the fuck is going on? And she keeps looking, and like the owner of the dog comes.
Oh,
and
no.
Then she's like, the owner of the dog is like, don't mind us. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. Like a 60-year-old lady, and then she walks away.
Wow.
Yeah, she really, that lady's the MVP.
Yeah, that lady is who matters. She's like, oh, sorry, don't mind me. Sorry to interrupt.
Keep doing what you're doing. I like that. I really like that.
I respect your game. Wait, that's so funny.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be caught. I guess it's, yeah, especially, like, because you could be caught by, like, the police, and I think that's a, I feel like you'd be, you're on a sex offender list, and then your life,
exactly.
Your life is in a whole new level of fucked up.
Exactly, right. It's just things you actually don't need in your life.
Yeah.
Have you seen other people having sex?
There was one time, you know those, like, open spa places? Like, public spas? Like, Spa Castle?
I've never been to Spa Castle. I would like to go.
So, at the Spa Castle near me, two people have died. So, I don't think I ever want to go there ever again.
Wait, sorry, where is your Spa Castle? Just so that I can...
College Point.
Okay, that's... Yeah. I won't be there. Why did they die?
One man drowned, and I think another woman also drowned.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. So, I'm not going back to Spa Castle. Because, not that I think I would drown, even though I can't swim and I possibly could drown. I just don't want to, like, indulge where people have died.
It's kind of upsetting.
It's a little morbid. But so we didn't really, I don't know if they were having sex, but they were just like sitting on top of each other. And I was there with Hakeem. They just looked super frisky. Like the guy was like enjoying himself a little too much.
He was having a lot of
They were
fun.
Being a little too sus. They were being aqua sus. But that's it. I've never actually like confirmed or seen anybody having sex. There's probably never. Several people fucking in that water in Jamaica, but you know.
Oh, def. But you would never know.
Yeah.
Or maybe you would know, but
if I looked you real wouldn't, hard.
You wouldn't say anything. I remember, so where I work is, it's a very tall building. Mm-hmm. There's a hotel next to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely saw like a couple preparing.
Wow.
Like, there's definitely laying onto this underwear was still on.
Wow.
And I think I only left because, like, I had to go do something.
Otherwise, you'd still be there.
I feel like I would have stayed and watched.
Enthralled in their lives.
I'm not even going to lie about it. I would have definitely just watched.
Yeah, I totally would have watched as well.
Right? It's like, why not?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they have their windows open. They know it's a possibility.
I totally think they know it's a possibility. I'm assuming it's a big ass window. It's like
it's pretty
in midtown
big.
Manhattan.
Looks right down onto the bed.
Yeah, they know.
Right? It's like, so if that's what you want and I'm enjoying this,
let's all have a great time.
Are we not just indulging each other's pleasures?
Exactly. Places you want to have sex?
You know, it's honestly, I like sunny places.
Yes.
You know, I like it like nice, sunny, like near a nice big window, which has already happened to keep happening.
Great.
I have nothing specific. Your list is hella specific, so you can just get to it.
The funny thing is that right after we recorded last week, I was on the phone going home talking to 23, and we were just talking about public sex. So this was always in the works. And you're the one who suggested this idea. So that's just very funny.
We're on the same wavelength all the time.
Exactly. Yeah, so definitely on a yacht. I don't know why I wrote definitely on a yacht. I just want to have a yacht in life, you know?
You know, Louis C.K. had a yacht, and he was like, it's way too expensive for me.
But I'm never going to have a yacht.
No, but you can have a yacht, not be able to afford it, and then return it.
Yes, that's what I got to work towards.
Have it for a little bit.
That's exactly what I got to work towards. So it's like in the public, but like people might not see you because you might not be driving next to anybody or boating next to anybody or whatever, but you might too. And they're just like, look at that hot woman on a yacht having sex.
Yeah, it's your yacht.
Exactly. I do want to have sex on a beach, but with full coverage from the sand.
Same.
Like a bed or something, or just like several towels and sheets and pillows, where they're beautiful, but
I
just
think you need like a,
I just don't want like the sand in my pussy.
I feel like you can't avoid that though, because like the wind will pick up at some point.
Yeah,
you
no
know?
Matter what you do,
you have to have it like in a beach house.
Yeah, exactly. Because I want the sound of the waves crashing.
Mm.
I want the sun beating down. I just don't want the sand in my vagina.
Neither do I. You can recreate a lot of that. You could get daylight bulbs and then get a big old window or like a big old painting of the waves and then just play the sound of waves crashing.
Ambient noise.
Get one and of those, turn like, on a CDs. Fan. And bam, put a little sand on your floor. And then
the
you
smell.
Have
smell. I need the smell of the sea.
Get a sea breeze Yankee candle.
Perfect.
Bam! Sex on the beach.
That's perfect. While camping, but no snakes or bears. I don't know how to make that work.
You just have to go to
a place like that doesn't have snakes or bears.
Central Park.
Ah, yes. I have to step down 69 and find that woman. None of my fantasies are going to be fulfilled.
I'm so sorry.
Pressed against the large window.
I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, it was just, like, too. Warm. Yeah, like, your titties on the window. That's
exactly.
That's a good thing. In the sea. I don't know how that would work with condoms.
It might not work because of the salt, but I also don't know how latex works.
So. Me neither. And there's other types of condoms. I don't know. Maybe at that point it's just no condoms.
Yeah. I mean, if it's for this one... But I don't know if I want salt water in my vagina. Because there's also a lot of sand just floating around in the sea.
Yeah,
know?
And a lot of other things.
And, like, algae and fish.
Yeah.
And
organisms,
life.
Organisms.
Yeah.
On the hood of a car. This is really specific. Parked on top of a tall hill or mountain. You know those scenes in movies where it's just like, how did the car get up there, but it's up there? And yeah, well, I want to fuck on that car.
I feel like we can arrange something for you.
Thank you.
We can make that happen.
And then last but not least, a dressing room where it's just like, ooh, I'm going to try on some lingerie, baby.
Ooh.
And he's like, all right, let me see. In? Yeah, exactly. Let me fuck.
Thanks for getting to the heart of that message.
Yeah, not a good storyteller.
I agree with all of all of those things sound fun.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like where else would be extra dope. I don't know why I was thinking, like, somewhere with hot mud.
Ah, that's interesting. I just like hot things. I like to be warm.
Me too. And then you can, like, go into, like, a nice pond or spring.
That's a good idea. Like a hot springs.
You know what? That's what it is. Is that not what I was trying to describe?
That is what you were doing there.
There has to be some sort of hot volcanic ash nearby that I can just... But then it'll also smell like poop, right? Like sulfur, like farts.
I went to a hot springs once, and it didn't smell that bad.
Where was it?
In Nicaragua.
That sounds fun.
It was either in Nicaragua or Costa Rica. I think it was actually in Costa Rica. It was fun. I was there with my mom, so, you know, no sex happened. But, yeah, it was a good time. I don't know how the mud would interact with the genitals, though.
I think you just have to not, like, just not get your genitals muddy. Because I feel like you can avoid mud... Like you can't avoid sand in the way that I think you can avoid mud.
Like I see what you're saying. You can, like, push it.
Yeah, or just, like, just have a really big-ass blanket and then just confine your fun to the middle of this blanket.
Yeah.
We'll try it and get back to you, audience. We'll see.
Just gotta go to Costa Rica real quick.
What else?
I wrote down the sex party, swinger party, sex resort situations.
Oh, I would totally do that.
Me too.
Because everybody else is doing it.
Exactly.
I don't know if I'd be all, like, friendly and talkative.
What do you mean?
Wait, like,
like, as you're having sex with the person you're having sex with?
No.
Engaging in conversation?
What was I reading? I was reading Push Play by, or Push the Button by, what's her name? Feminisa Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they were at, like a sex club. And everybody was familiar. Like, there was, like, you know, they would go. It was, like, a BDSM club. And it was like it's like a BDSM lifestyle thing. So everybody knew each other, and like some people would go into rooms and having sex, and some people would just chat and like, oh hey, it's good to see you back around here.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know if I would
get that familiar and comfortable,
like real neighborly.
Yeah, like be in the lifestyle, quote unquote.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't think I would either. Those things always. I just wanted to try one of those things, but I find that like swinger communities are just like older. Like, for example, there's that swinger resort well, it's like a nude resort or whatever, but really it's a fucking swinger resort in Jamaica called Hedonism 2. Do you remember that video with that guy, Hedo Rick?
It sounds so familiar. Just refresh me because it sounds so familiar.
He's like an older man or whatever. I'd probably like say 65 and up or whatever. And he's being interviewed at Hedonism. And the interviewer is like, how many times have you been to Hedonism? And he's like, 14 times or something like crazy like that. And then he's like, well, what keeps bringing you back, Rick? He's like, the wild women, the wild women, oh, yes. The ripping and the tearing, the ripping and the tearing. Like, what is he ripping and tearing?
The ripping and the tearing.
And he's just, like, wearing Speedos or whatever. And then after he says that, he just starts dancing for some reason. I don't think the interviewer told him to dance, but he's just, like, he, like, does fucking, like, the chicken head. And he, like, gets on all fours and he twerks and his ball sack is just flopping in the goddamn air. And I'm just like, I don't want to go to Hedonism with that guy. He's not in, like, my particular cup of tea right now. Like, maybe later in life or if that's what people are into, but I'm just not. So I can't.
I feel like...
Like, I want to swing with people...
My age.
40 and up. Or 40 and lower, is what I'm going to say. Up. You gotta be 75 to fuck with me.
I would say 40 and lower as well.
Yeah.
That's, like, the upper limit.
Yeah. There are some, like, young swinger parties and stuff like that, but they just seem ultra exclusive, and they're also very shallow. Like, they want you to be young and, like, look really good. Like, you have to, like, send in your pictures and stuff like that and be reviewed by a board. And
yeah,
that already makes me feel like they're, one, super, because they're super shallow, I also feel like they're super yo-centric and super, like, they wouldn't be accepting of, like, fat bodies or disabled bodies or trans bodies or anything like that. So I'm like, I don't really want to go to a place where people are like that in the first place.
Yeah. Because, like, how would you pick that out or whatever?
Yeah, because attractiveness is so subjective.
All right. I guess that's it for Fuck It! Now on to Fuck Me. And remember, we're not yelling because we're both in our homes.
Yeah. The segment where we talk about our lives. I'll go first because I just feel like my family's coming home. I also have nothing to say, though. Not really. So I'm just going to talk about life. Yeah, so I've been feeling all wanderlusty lately, like the mood to want to go and travel and stuff like that. Like, I want to go travel with my mom, and I want to travel with my friends and, like, see beautiful places or whatever, but also, like, see very attractive men. Because wherever you go abroad, like, the men are just very attractive, and I don't know what's up with that. Have you experienced that?
They just feel
more attractive. I don't know if it's because it's hot. Have I ever gone to a cold place? No, I'm not into that.
You don't like the cold.
I feel
like it's anywhere I go.
Like in life?
Yeah. Like, okay. Maybe it's the grocery store.
I see.
You know, it's just, they're beautiful everywhere to me.
They are. Man, Ghana, they was just like, everybody was so goddamn gorgeous. Everyone's face was, like, perfect. Yeah, but I also want to, like, travel with bays. I'd like to go with Akeem because our 7th anniversary is coming up or whatever.
Aww.
So we're trying to like do, wow, now my phone's ringing. We're trying to do a getaway. Have no idea where yet. Maybe to like Atlantic City or something like that, like something light. But if anybody has any suggestions, yeah, because it's not going to be like a big vacation or whatever. If anybody has any suggestions, send that on over, and then I'd also like to go somewhere with 23 and, like, get to know each other and, you know, have a lot of sex there. What else is going on in my life? I've been very horny lately.
Hey.
It's been, like, masturbation, like, several times a day for the past several days. Like, once my period ended, it was just, like, this area has been under service for a while.
You gotta implement some new yourself.
I had a dream last night that I had the freak rib, which is interesting because right now I have the freak rib.
But you're just talking to me.
Exactly. And I was like, 23, come over. Yeah, fuck everywhere. And we did. But then in the dream, my dad came home. And then for some reason, I don't know, he just like had to check out the bathroom upstairs or whatever because I like live on the top floor and nobody else lives there. He was like, I need to check out the bathroom. And I was like, you can't. Someone's in there. And he was like, who's in there, Sam? I was like, it's Akeem. And he was like, oh, okay. And then he turned around and he was like, wait, I didn't see Akeem's car outside. It can't be Akeem. And then I don't know why, but in Dream World, I was just like, I have to tell him everything now. Like, I could have lied. I could have been like, he got a ride or something like that. But I was just like, it's 23. And I said his real name. This is a man I've been seeing for blah, blah, blah. So I just like confessed to my dad in my dream that I was polyamorous, but that won't be happening in real life anytime soon.
Nope, but at least you got it out in a dream. So you can, you've got like 2 years now to deal with that, and then...
Exactly.
It's like enough, that's enough.
Yeah, right. Made me feel so much better. That's it. There's literally nothing going on.
No, that's a lot. I think that's a lot. I think, so my life has been like kind of rough.
Yeah.
So basically, at work, it'll get like sex, love, dating related. But so basically, at work, for like the longest time in the history of my lifetime, I don't want to move up the ladder there. Like I intentionally don't want to do that. And I was feeling maybe it was just a self-driven pressure to advance and to like PA for the shows that they have. Because it was like, you know, if you're working in a television place, why wouldn't you want to get experience working on these kind of shows? But I work for a news organization, so I don't particularly care to work in news later in life. Especially not for this place.
Mm-hmm.
So Wednesdays, I was doing a shift for a show. I was a PA, had to do research for these news anchors. And it was just very stressful. Like, the first time I did it was fine, because there was like one thing happened. Second time I did it was terrifying and shitty and horrible. It was the day after the Brussels terrorist attack, and because my news organization doesn't care about Africa, they went hard covering Brussels. And so basically I was forced to do a job that I'd been trying to avoid ever since I'd gotten to work, and it was kind of just as hard as I'd imagined it to be. And as shitty as I thought it would be, and because like I didn't really want to do it, and I wasn't gonna like, you know, do a bad job on purpose, but like I misspelled like the Argentinian president's name wrong, because this woman, the anchor asked for it like 3 seconds before the show went on, and I had to very quickly compile a list of like facts about something I knew nothing about, and like it, like his name is like Marcy. Or when it was just like I swapped two letters. All the letters were the same, but I just swapped two of them in my haste to get her this piece of information quickly. And like I felt bad because she could have said it wrong. And like, the producer's like, you spelled her name wrong. And it's just like the whole team of people know when you fuck up because they're all in communication. And if somebody fucks something up, everybody is very big about being like, who did it? Who did it wrong? That way you can be like, oh, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was you. The lonely, yeah. PA, you know, and it's just not a good, and I guess like if you care and your job is to, you care about excellence in something, then it's like, okay, like I would have easily been like, you know, I'm so sorry that I'll fix that for next time or whatever, or that'll never happen again. Like, you know, like I'm very like, if I do something wrong, I was gonna know how I can do better.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so, you know, it's like I made a mistake. I didn't want to make the mistake, you know, it just happened. It was just, like, not a good feeling, especially since I didn't like the job, and I had never wanted to do that job, and it just kind of, like, threw a whole bunch of, like, feelings of, like, I guess I generally feel like right now in my life, it's like, I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. I'm putting a lot of effort into a lot of things that aren't, like, Slam Pow, you know, we're not generating enough money to pay rent and groceries and utilities, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, I feel like going down the route of being an independent creator is trying because you're not getting the validation that people get with. If I was working at like ABC and I was a PA, people would be like, oh, well, you're just getting your foot in the door. You know, you can slowly climb up and be a producer. Like it's the whole moving up the corporate ladder thing that people are like, seem to be really proud of. Whereas like, you know, if you're working on a little podcast that you're recording in your home in the suburbs on Skype.
Just a little project with your friend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's just, so I've like, since I've graduated college, I've been like a
Like, it's like, I've decided that I just need to fully commit to giving Slam Pal my 1000% all and stop feeling, or, like, make peace with the fact that that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm not going to be, I'm not going to get the same validation because so few people know about us, you know? So it's not like I could be like, oh, yeah, you know, I work for NBC. And people will, like, cheer and clap. And it's like, nope, I'm working on my own independent thing. And I just have to be like, okay. This is way more rewarding. This is what I want to do. I just have to, like, make peace with that. And, like, I don't know. It's just been, that's like, one, that was, like, the main incident that, like, started, like, maybe the shittiest week ever, accumulating in an emotional breakdown yesterday. Like, left me with a headache. A very bad headache. But throughout the whole thing, John, who is on the bed next to me, who I don't know if he can hear me because he has his headphones in, but, I blew him a kiss. He's been, like, my solid rock throughout this whole entire shitstorm that has felt like my life for the past, I guess, week, but also I've just been feeling, like, very sad in general. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, general, like, I don't know what's gonna happen, you know, when I'm 26, no healthcare, and,
yeah,
you know, I dropped out of, like, one of my writing classes, and, you know, it's just been very difficult. And for so many other reasons, but he's always, like, he's been making me breakfast, lunch, and dinner since the beginning of time, and bringing me snacks, and cuddling with me, and, you know, even if I'm not the nicest person, he's always the nicest person to me, even when he has stuff and is busy, and, you know, I'm just so happy that he's part of my life, and it would have been really hard to get through all of this, which is, it's very hard to detail, like, the real all of it, but, you know, this, like, the major thing, but just to get through it without anyone, it's hard, because he's, like, such a sympathetic person, listens to everything I'm saying, and even though, you know, he's not an independent creator, like, he totally gets that, like, he gets what I'm going through, and has just been the best person ever.
That is beautiful, man.
Yeah, so.
I can love that.
Yeah, I'm just happy to have him in my life. So that's that.
Cool.
Oh, and then very last light thing.
Mm-hmm.
So as we all know, if you don't know me, my vagina is crazy. And I saw my gynecologist recently because I thought I had another infection. And she was like, everything looks fine. Like, it looks like you have no infection of sorts. And like so I went to the gynecologist, got tested, and I have no infection, but I have been having like itching symptoms. And she was like, you just have to be very careful about just all of your... You had to be a detective and, like, be into... Did I say this last week?
You did.
Oh, wait, hold on. But I
thought it was going to get new. Okay.
No. Sorry. So I found the new detergent that has finally stopped my irritation. That's the new thing. Yeah. It's, which John found, purchased, and he washed my underwear in a separate... Like, he did all of it. It's like a Myers, M-E-Y-E-R.
Mm-hmm.
For babies, so I'm using baby detergent on my underwear.
Sounds like a good idea.
And it's like, I feel good, you know? So I'm hoping, like, maybe that's it. Maybe I just, for some reason, became super sensitized to my detergent. But now I'm happy. No, things are good. So there's hope. If anyone has, like, a constantly itching vagina, you're not the only one. All right, that's it for fuck me.
I want to fuck you.
Our segment about your fucking life. Yes,
we take your questions, comments, concerns, and all that stuff, and you can send that to ihupodcast@gmail.com.
All right, so this story comes from Tunde from Negroes with the Podcast. Tunde has been giving us extensive, awesome reviews on most of our episodes, and it's really a joy to read all his thoughts, so thank you, Tunde, for sending your story in. So here's your story from this week. Hey, ladies, listening to the blowjobs episode, I think that giving good head is similar to being good at eating pussy. Number one rule is to pay attention to body language. Not every guy likes the same thing. Personally, I like a good head-hand combo motion, and you can't neglect the balls, hands, and mouth. Also, the sloppier the better. Quick story about the worst head I ever got. I was talking to this girl for a couple weeks, and like 80% of our conversations were about sex. She would always say how much she wanted to suck my dick. Based on the way she talked, I assumed she would be good at it. I was so wrong. After I ate her out, she laid me back, and in my mind, I was like, this is going to be amazing. First thing, I felt were her hands on my dick.
Her hands felt like she'd been hanging on rims all day. I kind of wanted to stop her and tell her to put some lotion on her hands, but I powered through it. Then came the actual head. I didn't know if she had a condition or something, but it felt like there wasn't any spit in her mouth at all. There really shouldn't be friction during head, but alas, her tongue felt like sandpaper. She also grazed the underside of my dickhead with her teeth more than once, and she kept asking if I was okay when I flinched.
Aww.
Lastly, she did this weird thing when she tried to stick her tongue in my dick hole. Super weird. But, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Her pussy more than made up for her lack of head skills, though. Maybe all the moisture from her mouth went to her pussy because it was, like, gushy. Toon Day, or whatever you want to call me.
Thank you, Toon Day.
Man.
I feel like if it's like a, are you okay? Right. And then they don't quite answer you.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I wouldn't take that as a sign that they were having okay.
But also, I guess my question is, like, why wasn't he like, no, I'm not okay? Like, he didn't have to be like, your tongue feels like sandpaper, but I wonder if he just, like, tried to, like, mosey it along, like, all right, let's just have sex now.
Maybe it was
embarrassing. Or was he just pulling through it? Like, maybe it'll get better. Maybe she will salivate.
Oh, gosh. I feel like you have to have, like, a cup of water, maybe.
Right.
You should have some oil. Or some oil next to the bed.
Yeah, she just wasn't prepared. Sometimes, you know, you just can't get that spit going. Maybe she was high.
Maybe.
She had gotten now.
That makes sense.
Maybe she has a dry mouth problem. I don't know.
In which case, you gotta be prepared.
Exactly. She should know that. Like, yeah. Aww. The tongue in the dick hole thing is funny.
I feel very uncomfortable doing that to somebody.
My question is, like, how far did you try to stick it in there? Like, that it was that notable, you know? Like, like, she's, like, trying to, like, open it up. Like,
the thing is, like, how far can it go?
I don't know.
I don't know how far.
That's how you damage someone's urethra.
Exactly.
You know?
I don't know if the urethra expands like that.
I don't think it does.
You know?
It's not like when you pee, it's coming out, like, with the radius of your tongue.
Yeah, like poop,
for
example.
So your tongue can't go in there.
Exactly. Like, poop comes out and it's pretty big, and that's how you know it expands. But, like, your urethra, you don't really test it. Oh, you know what? Because kidney stones hurt people.
Oh, my God.
You know? So I don't think you're... And I guess it's also, like, a rock.
She reverse kidney stoned him, though.
That's what it was. Oh, sorry, man. You got kidney stoned.
Right? All these bad head stories. I love it. Send us your bad head stories, guys.
Because they're really funny.
They're very hilarious. Yeah. She had a great pussy, though. That's good.
Yeah, now it worked out.
Yeah.
Bad head, best pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I guess that's it for fuck you.
Yeah, that's it for the fucking show.
Woo!
Thanks for bearing with us on another Skype episode, guys. Next week, we'll be back in the studio.
Studio. Because is it a studio? No.
Yeah. You can also, in the middle of the week, check us out on Periscope on Wednesdays and Thursdays at night.
You for now, because I don't have a phone.
Oh, yeah. So Shanika's Periscope days are going on hiatus, but I will be there every Thursday.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do every Wednesday and Thursday if I'm feeling frisky.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just masturbate on camera, because apparently I can't stop doing it.
Or at least you have to tweet about it every time.
Masturbating right now. Masturbating RN. Yeah, that's it. We're Slam Pat Productions. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube by searching Slam Pat Productions. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Periscope at @slam_pow. You can donate. Oh, we have to talk about Patreon. A lot of you guys think Patreon is weird. Me and Shanika haven't talked about that personally yet, but when we do, we'll let you know.
Yeah, because rumor has it that some people would like to, some people want to donate, but they don't trust the website that we're using.
Yes.
If you don't trust it, we have one person who's donated, and we're so thankful for him. If you guys recommend a place, like, do you want to just write a check and mail it to?
I think the best thing would probably be PayPal.
Oh, we'll just straight through PayPal?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll figure something out. But if you
but thank you so much for being interested in donating in the first place and voicing your concerns. Although I don't, there's nothing wrong with Patreon, but I can see why people would think it's weird because people have never heard
it looks before. Stupid. It also
it's very stupid. Poorly designed. It looks stupid. That's hilarious.
Yeah, if you don't feel safe, I get it. You're like, you want me to put my credit card information into this?
In what? In where?
Then it gets sexual for us. So if you are interested in donating, just shoot us a message, because then we can just update you right away when you can. We could be like, oh, you specifically, and then maybe we'll work it out. Mm-hmm. But we love you.
Yeah.
we love you. Regardless of whether or not you donate, your listen and your thoughts, and even your just silent listening.
Yes. Yeah, we love it all. Yeah. Loves it all. If you want to join in on the conversation about the show, please use hashtag InnerHoeUprising so we can find out everything you're saying and retweet it and respond and laugh and joke and play. You can do that on wherever, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatevs. I'm Sam, and you can find me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter, and you can follow me on Snapchat at SamAnnerz, and this will all go in the description below.
I'm Shanika. You can follow me on Twitter at ShanPowell4, on Instagram at Shanika Powell. I don't have a phone, so I'm not putting anything on there right now. But one day, there'll be news. Is that it? Yeah, I guess that's it. That's how you find me.
Yeah.
Yerp, yerp.
Yeah, now leaving you with a little something sexy.
Woo!
Yeah.
In our patriarchal society, women and femmes are taught from a young age that we have to be beautiful, otherwise we're just regarded as disposable and ugly.
We learn from an early age that our survival and happiness is linked to how desirable we are to men.
Women and femmes don't have the privilege to be evaluated by, I don't know, our ideas or personality because people are too busy commenting on our appearances.
The beautiful ugly dichotomy is so powerful and so insidious, it finds its way into the minds of many people, no matter how they identify.
Take for example, recently Caitlyn Jenner, a trans advocate, told trans women that they should care about beauty because society is just so uncomfortable with men in dresses. To which I say, why should trans people have to look like cisgender people in order to be worthy of respect? The only thing we should have to pass as is ourselves, but sometimes they make it seem like we have to go through a security pat down just to pee.